Hey everyone, before this podcast begins, we want to tell you about some other arts-related podcasts you're going to love. They are The Conduit Music Podcast, Artsville, Gringo and the Man, Art World Horror Stories, and Not Real Art. On these action-packed podcasts, you'll hear experts talk about creativity, design, the music biz, the art world, visual art, American craft, Chicano art, street art, graffiti, and even stand-up comedy. So be sure to find and follow these great arts podcasts today. Now, back to your regularly scheduled programming.
Hello, this is Siri, and you're listening to my favorite podcast, Not Real Art. I live for this shit because it's totally lit.
The Not Real Art Podcast, man one.
Right here in the house with...
Me.
With this dude.
Me. That's it.
This dude
right here. In the flesh.
Yeah, so to speak.
So, dude, we got problems.
Yeah, I know.
We got fucking problems.
We got a lot of problems.
And you know what? We have nerve, too. Like, the nerve of us to think that we could actually... have a podcast.
I don't think our listeners really understand.
Listeners, we have listeners.
Well, I'm counting myself in that.
in that me bunch. Too, so
there's just two listeners, me right. and you. Okay. So maybe our listeners do understand, but you know, we're two married men. You know, we have.
That reminds me, I have got to get a divorce.
Yeah. I won't even go there. But you know, we both are in. Long committed relationships with women who love us, and
I, in all candor, yeah. Yes, they're long. I'm not so sure how committed my wife is, but
yeah,
19 years we've been together, so
yeah, and you got kids, and I've got kids,
yes,
so you're committed, just
I'm gonna be committed, all right,
yeah, you're committed, so you know, in that context. Doing what we're doing right now, sitting here, talking, bullshitting, you know, it's...
Podcast. We're not bullshitting, we're podcasting.
As my wife would call it, bullshitting. We're here bullshitting on this thing called a podcast, and I don't know how much longer I can do this, you know? That's like if every night I told my wife, you know, I'm going to be over at so-and-so's house next door, you know, Bible reading or something, and then she comes over and we're playing pool every night, you know, she'd be like, get your ass home right now.
Yeah,
what the fuck are you doing? And that's what this is equating to, I think.
Well, the interesting part about that is that I do have a couple of Bibles. I don't have any pool tables. What does
well
that mean?
we'll have to get a pool table in here pretty soon,
you know? Man, yeah, it's just the audacity of us,
yeah,
to think that we could compete with any real podcast. Like, I mean, there are professional podcasters out there,
yeah,
that make a good living, you know, with credibility and integrity and a level of competence.
Yeah.
That, I mean, we don't have any of that.
Yeah. And they have commercials.
Sponsors.
Sponsors.
Subscribers, maybe.
They have, like, you know, people.
People listening. They have listeners.
Oh, yeah, but people in the studio.
Oh, like a crew. Like a crew. Support, like a team.
Like an engineer, right, an editor,
right.
A writer.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And and instead, it's just me and you and a bunch of, you know, Guitar Center toys.
Right, well.
Really good toys, by the way.
Yeah, they're not bad, you know. I didn't go top of the line, but
no.
I
you did a good job.
I didn't cheap out.
No, I mean, I think these are good toys, and you know, we're using them, and who knows how long this fairy tale will last.
I think the moral of the story is that we'll take the rock.
Yeah.
Give us the ball. We'll drive it.
You know, I already told my wife that Siri thinks we're number one, but her response is, are you making any money? That's her response. Are you getting paid?
That's the problem with wives.
Well, it's a problem with Siri. She doesn't want to pay us yet.
Siri, I tell you. Yeah. You know what? I do. You know, the fact that we're her favorite podcast.
Right. I still can't get over it.
It's kind of remarkable. Like, I don't want to dwell on it.
I think we're going to dwell on it, like, every single show.
But if you think about...
Every single episode.
If you think about... Because it's worth thinking about.
Yeah, it's a big
deal. It's Siri. Like, Siri is everywhere.
Right.
She has access and knowledge of millions of podcasts, and yet ours, seven episodes in,
mm-hmm.
is her favorite.
Right. So, I don't know. I think maybe a few more episodes, and we'll be getting, you know, sponsors, I think. Siri, if you're hearing this, Siri, find us some sponsors.
Who's our dream sponsor?
Oh, man. Kanye.
Kanye. Dude, we got to have him on the show.
You know why Kanye would be the best sponsor?
Because
then he can get us Trump.
Dude, I would have Trump on this podcast in a heartbeat.
Oh, I would love it.
You know?
I would love it.
I just, you know, because I want to know about Melania. I do. I'm a married man, right? So, like, yeah. I just, you know, I have to fantasize.
Yeah.
And
you have to live vicariously through the orange Cheeto?
I mean, I'm just saying, like, Melania is the best thing about Trump.
But the problem is it's not Trump. It's not Trump's.
What do you mean, Melania is not Trump's?
He doesn't own her.
Well, yeah.
She's a free woman. She's a free woman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can't you tell she's an independent thinker?
She speaks five languages, so, yeah. You know, that's impressive.
Right.
You know, but it's not, I mean, it's not that I want to, you know, talk to her a whole lot.
No? Just want to see the hats she's wearing that day?
Anyway. I love documentaries.
Yeah.
And my wife teases me all the time that I will watch a documentary about paint drying. And it's true, because I just watch...
I love those documentaries.
Yeah, I mean, as an artist, right?
Yeah, I live the documentary.
That's it, every day. And there was a... and I'm a Netflix subscriber.
Sure.
And I noticed the other day there's this, I think, 3 or 4 part docuseries about Trump.
Mm.
And I watched it. And it started at the very beginning of his life, you know, all the way to recent years. And, you know, it's interesting because we grew up with Trump.
Yeah.
I mean, Trump, yeah. I mean, you know, Trump was Trump in the 70s and the 80s and really in the 80s and the 90s.
Yeah,
right.
Right.
And I forgot about a lot of that stuff.
He's in hip hop lyrics.
Right.
Yeah. Forever ingrained in some of the hip hop lyrics.
And took me watching the documentary. It was like, it took me back to my youth because it just reminded me of.
Right.
But never in a million years did I ever think.
Yeah.
That he would be the president of the United States.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Okay. But I am a proud globalist, you know, like I love my country, you know, like you're supposed to say that, right? It's like, oh, I love my country. Like, I feel fortunate to have been born where I was when I was, you know, could have been a hell of a lot worse.
Right.
You know, and this country was built on the exploitation of a people, of slavery. It was
genocide.
Genocide. Thank you. That's what I was also looking for. rape, pillage, plunder. Absolutely. We stole this country. We stole this land from its rightful owners.
Well, you did. I didn't. You did.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Your
yeah.
people.
Yeah. No, I personally.
Your people.
Yes. My people. Oh my God. That's right. sorry. I didn't mean to include you. And this kind of gets back to some of our previous conversations too, because I mean, I think it's kind of about what kind of person you are, what kind of heart you have, what kind of spirit you have. And I know this is probably the naive romantic artist in me speaking, but like, why can't we just all get along? Like, what the fuck?
Right? Famous words, Ronnie King.
Yeah, it's like I don't. Why does it have to be a zero sum game? Why for me to win, you have to lose? Yeah. You know, it's like America first, America first, America first.
Yeah.
Fuck that. Everybody first.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I think of myself first of all as like an earthling.
Right. Yeah.
Really. And a human being.
Right.
Well, right? And then maybe down third or fourth on the list, an American.
Yeah. Well, there's that whole thing about, and you heard it before, right? Like, do you love to win or do you hate to lose? You know?
Right.
And that's what we're up against right now.
Interesting.
You know?
Yeah.
Because if you look at Trump, he just, you know, what does he love to win or does he hate to lose?
Right.
You know?
Right.
And that's how he looks at the world, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it is sad. This where we're at, you know, but you know, you're talking about going back into, you know, this Netflix thing with the history of Trump or whatever. You know, it's what's crazy about it is that it took Obama to get to Trump. You know, we couldn't have had Trump 20 years ago.
Well, it exactly. And I mean, people forget, right, yeah, how bad Bush was.
Yeah. Oh, Bush was.
Right. Horrible. Like, Bush got us Obama.
Right.
Right. Obama got us Trump. Trump is, as Chris Rock said in his recent special, is going to get us Jesus.
He's going to get us Jesus. Absolutely. I believe that. That's the scary part.
You know.
Yeah. He's just a fucking, you know.
Look, here's the truth, right? Oh, I mean, man. You know, and you and I have talked about this offline, but, you know, what's happening is, right, America is browning.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
The complexion of our country.
We're out fucking you.
You God damn it.
That's what we're doing.
I knew somebody was getting laid more than me.
Yeah. Not me, but just I'm saying we as in brown people in general.
Well, you can thank the Catholic Church for that, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, and there's no changing. The demographics are changing. Like it's just, I mean, like that's just a fact of life. Now, for someone like myself, I welcome the change. I think it's beautiful. I think it's amazing.
Of course.
You know? And by the way, I'm not a fool. Like you can't stop change.
Right.
Change is the only constant.
Yeah.
As the bumper sticker says. And so, you know, only fools fight the inevitable. Right. I mean, it's happening.
Right.
And, you know, unfortunately, right, there's just a whole group of, quite frankly, older boomers, World War II veterans, white, you know, who have this existential crisis around this change.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I think that's why we have Trump. That's why. You know, that's kind of what's driving the angst, because you just have a lot of scared old white people,
right,
who can't just embrace the change and embrace the reality of the change.
Well, because they're racist, a lot of them. It's not just about the change. It's about they're actually racist, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that makes me laugh is like when I see these interviews with people and these reporters are so scared to use the word racist, you know, they like, oh, they call him anything else
except racist.
Okay. Because, oh my God, how dare you call him a racist?
So I'm really glad you brought this up.
Yeah.
Because I'm just going to set the record straight right now.
Yeah.
I'm a racist.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely fucking racist. Absolutely. Everybody's a fucking racist, right?
Yeah.
Like the point is what's in your heart. What's the intent?
Right.
Right. And you know, as a white guy that grew up, you know, in middle America, you see the world through your lens.
Right.
Right. How could I ever see the world other than as a white guy?
Right.
Right. And by definition, that kind of makes me a racist. Right. Because I'm going to see everything in the world through my white guy lens.
Right.
Right. Now, that doesn't mean I think that I should subjugate or hold down anyone that isn't white or whatever,
mm-hmm,
right? Doesn't mean I don't have love for people that aren't white. I fucking have love for everybody. You know, right. I tend to try to judge people based on their character and, you know, who they are as a person and, you know, values and things like that. But it is really hard for me not to see the world as a white guy.
Right.
You know, I've tried to, over the years, through my friendships, through my conversations, through my dialogue, to understand and to be able to empathize and mm-hmm. have compassion and understanding and knowledge and wisdom around these very sensitive issues. Because I do fully know that I cannot comprehend. As a white guy, I don't fucking know. There's no way for me to understand the struggle that a black man has in this country. There's no fucking way I can understand right. that.
Yeah.
I can't.
Sure.
I try. I do try. And I think compared to some of my other fucking white brethren, mm-hmm. I'm probably, you know, more educated, if you will, understanding, whatever,
right.
than a lot of them. But that's the word racist. Like, yeah, it's like, oh, you can't say that. It's like the N word.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah.
Now I won't say the N word, you know? But you know, it's an interesting conversation. Like what does the word racist mean and, right. and why are people, so afraid of it?
Right.
You know, 'cause I think it kind of boils down to the intent of one's heart. Do they have hatred? Do they have anger? Do they have ignorance around what it means to be a person of color in this country? You know?
Well, I mean, being a person of color in this country, speaking to racism, it's I don't want white people to have to understand how, you know, how it is to be brown in this country. Like, yep. I don't need you to understand that. Right. I just need you to believe what I tell you what I go through
right,
every day.
Right, right.
You know?
Well, yeah.
So it's like when I say, oh yeah, you know, that cop pulled me over because I was driving while brown.
Right.
And someone will say, no, he didn't. He pulled you over because you had a taillight that was broken. You know?
Right.
And that's the part where it gets fucked up.
Right.
Because then you're like, no, dude, you don't understand. Like, this happens no matter if even if I didn't have a broken taillight, you know?
Right.
So I just want white people to be like, you know, when I say, hey, that person, you know, did this to me just because I'm brown, mm-hmm. I just need that person to say, you know what? That's fucked up. It shouldn't be that way.
Right. Exactly.
That's all I need them to say.
Yeah.
Not, oh no, it was probably this other reason, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's the part that, you know, gets upset. Like, for example, you know, I mean, come on, what the fuck? Black dudes getting shot
right.
for holding a cell phone in their
right.
hands.
Right, for sure.
You know? And you still have people out there saying, oh no, well, he wasn't doing what the cop told him to do. He was being combative. He was whatever the excuse mm-hmm. is, mm-hmm. you know? The correct answer is that's fucked up.
Right.
That's the correct answer. You know what? I don't give a shit. That's fucked up. That should not have happened. And even though, you know, that person may not be black or understand the black, you know, culture or whatever they're going through, that person should at least just be able to step back and say, you know what, that's not right. Let's do something about it.
Right. Well, and that's, you know, earlier when I was saying, like, trying to understand it, it's like, I'm always amazed at how many fucking white people try to tell people of color about their experience.
Oh, yeah.
You
oh,
know?
Totally, yeah.
Like they have a fucking clue.
Right.
And that's just my point. It's like, basically, if you're a white person, shut the fuck up and just listen. You know?
Well, now what's cracking me up is that now when you say someone, oh, that's just your privilege coming through, you know, or you call someone on white privilege.
Yeah.
Now white people are freaking out over that. They don't, what do you mean? You don't know where I grew up. You don't know what my privilege is.
Right.
Like, motherfucker, you're white skinned.
Yeah.
That is it. That's what they don't get, is that it has nothing to do with your economic, you know, history or your, you know, where you grew up or your last name. It doesn't matter.
Yep.
If you look white, if your skin is white, that's where the privilege starts.
Yep.
Because you get treated differently if your skin is darker than that.
Yep.
And the darker the skin, you know,
right.
The sometimes the worse you get treated. And it's crazy now that we've gotten to a point where people are offended when you call them underprivileged.
Yeah, I didn't know about that.
Oh, yeah, that's happening.
Wow.
You know, and you see it on TV interviews, and you'll see it, you know. And it's funny because, you know, now you don't have to say the N-word to be a racist, you know. You can just say, we're not hiring, you know. You can just say, you know, you didn't make it. You know, you didn't qualify for this, you know. Your grades weren't high enough to make it into the school. So now everything's veiled. And so when you turn around, because as a person of color, you've experienced it before, you know what the signs are.
Right.
That you can just call it out, you know? It's like, dude, you're fucking being racist, you know?
Right.
And it's like, oh, my God, how dare you call him a racist, you know? So I don't know what it takes or what it's going to take.
You know? We don't know, right? But it's like, I just, my understanding or assessment of it, it's like people are generally afraid of what they don't understand, right?
Right.
And it's like the only way we build empathy and the only way we build compassion and community is by communication and getting to know each other and exposure, right? And we don't have a fucking chance until people start listening, believing, you know, asking questions, talking. We're more siloed now than ever, right? You know, it's like think about your cell phone, right? And social media and all that. I mean, it's, you know, we're not, communities are disintegrating.
Well, you know, the thing is that I honestly believe that we're never going to get rid of racism. It's always going to exist.
No, I agree.
You know, it's just like there's always going to be good people. There's always going to be bad people. Right. Yeah. And so the only thing we can do is when you see racism, you call it out and you shun it and you put it in the corner and you know, and what's happening right now in this country is exactly the opposite. You have a whole group of people under Trump who are just, you know, gaslighting the whole thing.
Right.
And that's why you have all these emboldened, you know, freaking people coming out of the woodwork, you know, just being straight up racist.
Well, even the dog whistle of Make America Great Again.
Yeah, totally.
Okay. What do you mean?
Right.
First of all, I think it's great right now, for the most part.
You know. Yeah.
But, you know, oh, you mean when it was all white?
Right.
You know, or what do you want to go back to pre-Civil War days? And you know what I mean? Like, when was it great?
When's the last time, you know, the KKK supported one of our presidents? When's the last time the KKK endorsed one of the candidates that actually became president, you know? And you know why it never happened before? Because the president or the candidate at that time would turn around and say, fuck you, KKK, I don't want your endorsement.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know? Sure. Yeah. And this motherfucker, Trump, he's just silent. Yeah. He's like, I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'll take the racism. I'll take the fucking KKK. I'll take whoever the fuck I can take. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, he doesn't give a shit about race.
He has no...
It's all about... He does not give a shit about any of this stuff. Right. And he's just using race, you know, to fucking make more money.
Right.
At the end of the day, that's what he's doing. He doesn't give a shit. So it's just like, we have to get back to the place where you have to say, no, fuck you. You know, you're racist. Go sit in the corner.
Yeah.
You know? Not that you're going to go away, but put them in their place.
Right.
You know? And... you know, there's so many people right now who are not willing to do that, from politicians on down.
Right.
And that's the scary thing, because as a person of color, as a brown person in this country, there is places that I cannot go right now in this country that I belong to, because I will get beat up, because I will get shot, because I will just, you know, won't be welcomed. Yeah, you know? And to say that in this country I can't go places, even though I'm an American, that's fucked up, you know. And there's people who,
and it's always been that way.
It's always been that way, but it's never been outright, like. Well, okay, there was the civil, you know, during Martin Luther King.
Civil rights, yep.
Civil rights. Before that, right, people were in your face racist. The civil rights changed all that, right? Because now people understood the power and understood that, you know, that was wrong. And so all these years, we've been working slowly and slowly working on this racial divide in this country and finally got it to a point where, well, there's still racism, but at least it's kind of hidden under the table, you know?
And we know because we elected our first black president. So we must be.
So we're yeah. done. Hooray. Right. To yeah. celebrate. Right. We're good yeah. now. We're done. Right. And then this comes out, you right. know? And this is like going all the way back pre-civil rights. And it's okay now. Let's unleash the dogs. Let's take out the water hoses. Mm. That's what he's trying to do. Mm. You know, let's build a wall. Mm-hmm. Let's fucking, you know, nuke the world. It's like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
You know, it's not the country that I grew up in.
Yeah.
So if that's what making America great again is, then fuck that. You know?
Yeah. It's, you know, growing up, right, with this white privilege that yeah. I was unaware of.
Sure.
Call me naive. Clearly I was, but I actually thought and believed that this was the country where anyone, if they worked hard, applied themselves,
right.
got a little bit lucky, you know, could actually
right.
get, you know, have a better life.
Yeah.
One of the saddest days, I mean this sincerely, one of the saddest days of my life was when I realized the playing field was anything but level.
Right.
You know, the saddest days in my life, honestly, was the day that I realized what white privilege meant.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
That it wasn't a meritocracy. Like it wasn't just that I was clever and smart and worked hard.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm white. Like that's.
Sure.
And some of the shit that I did as a high school kid,
mm-hmm.
growing up where I grew up. If I had been a black kid growing up in the town 10 minutes to the west.
Right.
I'd have been shot or incarcerated.
Absolutely.
You know.
That's funny because that leads me to a whole other thing that being a graffiti artist, right? Growing up as a graffiti artist and then seeing all this huge explosion of street art,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And then noticing how many of these street artists are white,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, whatever, more power to them. It's all good, right? But then the thing is that some of these white artists are like, why are people not... You know, why are people hating on us? Mm, you know, like we're just artists like everyone else, you know? And I hear some of these artists say things like, you know, I've been arrested too. You know, I've been arrested 17 times.
Mm.
You know, why do I still get shit from graffiti artists?
Right.
Because motherfucker, I can't get arrested 14 times.
Right.
If I get arrested twice, I'm fucking doing time.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
My skin is brown. I'm not going to get out of fucking jail.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to go to the court and the judge is going to slap my hand. That motherfucker is going to put me in fucking state pen.
Yeah.
That's what he's going to do. I can't get, I don't have the luxury to get arrested 14
right.
times.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So it's like, that's another part of the privilege that happens. And it's funny that it ties into this whole street art culture. But it ties into all different parts of our culture.
Well, but it's, I mean, you put it in the context of street art and graffiti, but yeah. Like it's just is happening all the time. Like what I was saying, like the way I grew up, just being a high school punk kid, causing right. trouble, doing whatever,
yeah,
getting pulled over by the cops or whatever. I never got arrested.
Right.
Okay. I got off every time.
Right. Right.
Turns out it's because I'm a white guy, white right. kid.
Yeah.
You know, if I was, you know, in the town next door, and I was a black kid pulled over by the same cop, I doubt it would have been so nice.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And that's a harsh reality to, well, obviously to experience and to live, but to also just wake up and you realize, like, that's how, what's the word I want? I mean, it's just almost unfathomable, right?
Right.
Because I just happen to be born this way. You just happen to be born that way. Like,
right.
We didn't choose this.
Yeah.
So by some crazy weirdness of the universe, you know, we're mm-hmm. brought into the situation under these rules, under these dynamics, under these, you know, unfair, whatever. You know, how do you explain that? You know what I mean? It's just, right. It's just unfathomable.
Well, the thing is, going back to one of your other points, I still do think this is, you know, one of the best countries in the world, you know? And I still do believe that you can do whatever you want in the world, mm-hmm. whatever you want to make of yourself, it is possible. Mm-hmm. The American dream still exists, you know? You can come from nothing and become somebody, mm-hmm. you know? But you're right, there isn't a level playing field, you know? So for me to become as successful as the next guy, they may have a jump start just because their skin is white. Mm-hmm. So that does exist. But at the end of the day, I still think, yeah, you can, you know, my grandfather came here from Mexico and, you know, he was able to support a family, buy a home, you know, do all these great things that he couldn't do at the time in Mexico. You know, so of course I love this country. But at the same time, now you're having these people in power right now who are saying, okay, you know what? Enough of that.
Right.
That we're not going to allow you guys to keep coming here and making somebody out of yourselves when we don't want you to, you know? So now we're going to build walls. We're going to deport your family. We're going to deny education to you guys. You know, it's like an outright, like, freaking crazy.
Well, it's
attitude.
And it's just unfathomable because everyone knows. I mean, pick your rhetoric, right? You know, the idea that these folks are so-called stealing our jobs. They're such crap, such bullshit. You know,
right.
these folks work their asses off, doing jobs that white people would never do.
Yep.
And the hypocrisy around that,
right?
This denial of the facts, this denial of the reality. I mean, this is another example, but it's different. But it's take global warming, for example.
Yeah.
Okay. Our military complex, right? So the Navy specifically. Yeah. Are spending billions of dollars starting to retrofit our naval bases for rising oceans.
Right.
Right. Our military knows that climate change is real and the oceans are rising, and we're spending billions of our tax dollar to make sure our military doesn't suffer and the bases are prepared.
Sure.
And yet our own politicians can't have an honest conversation with us about climate change when they're using our tax dollars.
Right.
To retrofit the naval bases for rising. So it's just this, you know, bizarro world right now.
Yeah, the level of hypocrisy and greed it's at an all-time high right now. You know, but you know, one of the things about, I think, that I have hope about is that we're resilient people and we'll get through this one way or another, you know. People being racist towards me, towards my, you know, culture, towards people of color is nothing new. So we're kind of used to it. It is kind of alarming that now it's like such in your face, like, oh, okay. Oh, that's how it is. I see.
Well, and that was part of the joke about, right, when Trump got elected, you know, all these white liberals were freaking out and all my other black friends and my friends of color were like, what are you talking about? Like, we're used to this shit. You know what I mean? Like, white people for once didn't get what they fucking thought they deserved.
Right.
And
they're having a shit fit.
Yeah. And, you know, oh my God, the sky's falling. You know?
Yeah. But, you know, it's just like, so I'm hopeful, and you know, we just got to get through this. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's just, I don't know. It's a sad time we're living in right now. But,
well, yeah, I mean, it's a lot. I mean, you know, the thing that is interesting to think about, you know, is like, you know, yes, these are sad times, tough times, bad times, but has it ever been any different, really? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, this whole idea about, oh, the good old days or make America great again. Well, if you were a non-white in this country,
yeah,
when was it ever?
Yeah, it never was
any better than it is now.
Right.
Right. Or if you were Jewish in Europe in the 30s and 40s, right. You know, like the human species has always been, you know, corrupt and, right. And, exploitative and, you know, I don't know. I mean, but yet it's, you know, that's why I guess on a certain level I have more faith in you as a human being than I do in a magical being in the heavens, because only you as a human being and only I as a human being have the power to make change today.
Yeah.
Right. And we make our problems, but we can solve our problems. So I agree with you. Like, yeah. I, you know, I have hope. I know we can do this.
Yeah.
But change, you know, the hardest thing in the world is to change culture.
Right.
And that's what we're doing. We're moving the culture forward inch by inch, and it's not pretty sometimes.
Well, and especially with the speed of which things travel now, right? So in the past, culture took, you know, eons to shift and to change. Mm-hmm. And now culture's changing like by the fucking second.
Right.
You know?
Well, and even just with crime rates, for example, and I won't have my numbers right, but but murder, capital murder now is at the lowest that it's ever been.
Yeah,
I heard a statistic the other day in this country, and I heard a statistic the other day about how many political bombings there were in this country in the 70s. Mm-hmm. There's literally hundreds of political bombings every year, like in the 70s, like in the early 70s.
Right.
In this country.
Yeah.
Right? Now, those are terrorist attacks. They're right. Political bombings.
Right.
And so they're terrorist attacks, right? But they were done by primarily white radicals who right. were angry about the oil embargo or Vietnam or any number of other situations, right? Mm-hmm. And if you don't know your facts and if you don't know your history, you don't understand, like, you can't appreciate how good things are right now, because if you believe the media and you believe the hype and you believe the fear mongers,
yeah,
you know, they will steal your cheese.
Yeah.
You know, and cause fear and doubt, and when in fact, while we have major problems still to solve, there's still a lot to be grateful for.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I just wish that, like, we could get through this quicker.
I know, right? All right, well, we're out of time. Great talk, my friend.
All right.
Peace.
Peace.